love you fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll be good.
Does that noise come through?
Yep.
Your Are you squishing your eyeball eyes? Noise? It's real gross.
It's good. I like that.
It's maybe the grossest noise ever. Is Fright Day. This is episode 51. I'm your host, Byron. And naughty listeners, listen up, because there are things worse than getting coal for Christmas, and we're going to talk all about the other big man this week, reviewing Michael Dougherty's Krampus. But before that, we're going to learn more about this alpine folklore.
Folklore my butt.
In this week's edition of Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies. I'm joined tonight by Kelly.
Hello!
And Sam.
Hey, guys.
God, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
What do we do about that?
About me? Wait,
no,
did we?
You.
You guys have to be nice to me today.
You?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't slept for 3 days.
You're fine. You never sleep.
Nah, I mean, we'll be fine. This is an interesting little episode this week.
Where have you spent the last 3 days, Byron?
In my car, but mostly in the Pacific Northwest. So I'm here. I just arrived. I didn't sleep last night, drove through the night, and got here because this is the only time we can do this. And I'm a dedicated podcaster.
Apologies. For that.
It's especially okay because we watched a movie that I've been very excited to watch, and I can't wait to talk about
it. Yes.
Did you guys watch anything else while I was gone or sleeping in my car? Or?
Oh, yeah.
So we've been mining Shudder's vaults, which are getting better and better. Really good stuff on there. And we checked out a movie called Objective from 2008, and it is from one of the co-writer, co-directors of the original Blair Witch Project, Daniel Myrick.
Okay.
It is about a CIA operative who leads a special forces group in Afghanistan in search of this strange radiation source that the satellites picked up. Premise-wise, it sounds kind of thin, but the acting was really, really good for what it was. It reminded me of The Blair Witch. It was very earnest. And these guys seemed like, again, I have no military experience, but they were very convincingly, they seemed like military guys that were trying to play military guys. And it really worked for me.
Was it found footage?
Not found footage.
Okay.
Nope. It was actual,
footage.
Footage.
Sure.
Our group ends up, and again, there are no stars in this movie, which was great because you didn't have any baggage associated with it.
Although
anyone.
There is a guy that looks remarkably like Kip Purdue, and I kept thinking it was Kip Purdue, but it's not.
Who the fuck is Kip Purdue?
Oh, don't even. Continue, Sam.
They end up in Afghanistan, and they have to basically trek out across the desert and into the mountains to find this radiation source. Shit just keeps getting weirder and weirder. Their compasses and GPS stop working. The satellite phone just gets gobbledygook. Just weird noises. They hear things that aren't there, see things that aren't there. And it's really, really good. I really enjoyed this movie. It was extremely tense. It was unsettling. You felt like you were right there with the characters on this terrible journey across the wilds of Afghanistan. Yeah, I really liked it.
So, Sam.
Yeah.
Be real with me.
Yes.
It's no Chernobyl Diaries, is it?
Is anything?
Okay, I like Chernobyl Diaries.
No,
you guys knock it off.
Here.
You guys knock it off.
Bears?
Yes.
Yeah.
Radioactive bears.
Yeah.
And wolves.
Why wouldn't they be?
Come on. Well, there are actual wolves.
The wolves of Chernobyl.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
But that is a bad
It's a song
film.
By Toxic Holocaust.
Come on. I don't know.
Wolves of Chernobyl.
Wait, hold tight. That sounds like it could be one of Sam's jams.
It is a Sam's jam.
All right.
Ah! I love it.
I love it too.
Oh, and I asked Sam in the middle of the movie last night what the weapon's authenticity looked like.
Uh-huh.
He said it was good.
He gives it a thumbs up. We play a bumper and he goes, it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
Sure. It's good.
That's what segments are. Okay. That's cool. Shudder, right?
Available on Shudder.
I love Shudder. I don't get the time to do it.
I know. There's too much good stuff now on our streaming soapbox here. I mean, Netflix gets movies like Pod now.
Oh, yeah.
Creep,
I saw that.
I mean, which has been on there for a while, but,
It's
phenomenal.
This is a great time for Netflix horror right now.
Okay, so I have another one.
I was going to talk about a Netflix movie, too, but
okay, fine.
Do you want to interrupt and jump ahead?
It's okay.
It's fine.
Go.
The Mirror. 2014 found footage UK horror film.
No.
It's about a group of people who are trying to win like a I think it's $1 million or something for capturing supernatural activity on a camera. So they buy a haunted mirror on eBay. They have all these cameras set up and they're just...
Now it rings a bell. I tried to talk Sam into watching it a few weeks ago and he goes, meh!
Well, that exact noise.
He might be onto something. Not a terrible movie, but nothing special. It gets pretty gnarly at the end, but for the most part, it's pretty amateurish. I liked it. It got me through some more screen printing.
Check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
I also have to make a correction. It's actually Municipal Waste that does Wolves of Chernobyl that I was thinking of, not Toxic Holocaust.
Oh, okay. Correction to Sam's chance. I respect that. But yeah, I saw that pop up on Netflix Instant, and I thought I'd give it a try. That's pretty much it, other than me catching up on The Leftovers, season 2, which, have you guys seen any Leftovers?
I haven't, but 2% just doesn't sound like that many.
You mean of the entire world's population disappearing? Yeah, it doesn't seem like that much. People need to calm down about it. Season 2, completely different. They move to a completely different location.
Wait, 2% disappears or 2% is left?
Disappear.
Oh, yeah, that's like nothing.
Well, but I mean, if it was like your mom.
Okay, that would suck.
I like those odds, though. Two out of every 100 people vanishing, chances are good that it's not going to be anyone I care that much about.
It's really great. I had a good time. I think I'm almost caught up, too. Black Friday, you guys. I don't know how I'm here today.
Did it go well?
Things have been going really well for me. It's just staying very busy.
Yay!
Haven't had much horror time. I saw Spectre in Seattle.
Pretty damn good, eh?
Pretty fun. I've never seen a James Bond movie before.
Jesus Christ.
That was my first one.
And yet you have a hat like a James Bond villain.
I do. I look a bit like, I don't know any names to reference because I've never seen a James Bond film.
I bought Sam James Bond shoes this week.
What does that mean?
They look like James Bond shoes.
They have daggers in the toes that shoot out when you... No, they don't really.
You don't have metal thumbnails anymore?
I don't. I lost those.
Was that Dave Bautista? Is that guy? Okay.
Yeah, from Guardians.
I don't know much about Dave B, but he did a great job in that movie.
I thought so too. I only know him from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hey guys, are we ever going to talk about my movie?
Sure, I guess.
Let's talk about the other one we watched.
We watched this really cool movie called Skeptic.
Okay. So Skeptic came before her.
No, it was The Skeptic.
Okay, sure.
And it had Tim Daly, who's this dude from...
Wings.
Well, yeah, he was in the Wings.
Series Wings.
But for those people in our audience who aren't old enough to remember Wings...
How could they?
He also played Charlie Lang on The Mindy Project last year. Anyone? Anyhow, that gives you something. He plays this really grumpy, cynical asshole attorney who inherits a house from his aunt... and moves in. She always thought that it was haunted. He thinks it's a bunch of BS. And a bunch of stuff starts happening, but it also has Tom Arnold and Zoe Saldana in it.
Wait, skinny Tom Arnold?
Tom Arnold.
Oh, yep. Fun.
Saldana on our Guardians of the Galaxy kick.
6 Degrees of Guardians.
You're Segan.
Yeah. Obviously, this was my pick on Shudder, not Sam's, because it's a haunted house flick, but it had like a 5.8. on IMDb.
Okay, I thought you were doing 5.8 skulls or however they do shutters.
Oh, yeah, no.
What do they do?
I think they do skulls out of five. I don't know. Oh. I'm not sure. I'll take a peek.
I was really pleasantly surprised by it. I thought it was super, super fun. There were some genuinely scary as shit parts in it.
Cool.
Sam's going to say I disagree.
No, I actually enjoyed this much more than I normally do ghost movies.
Oh, yay. Good for that. I was proud of us for watching some horror this week.
Sorry to disappoint.
No. You did too. I'm impressed.
I was trying to do some business.
I'm impressed that you got anything in.
Yeah.
Good job. Thanks. Way to go. By the way.
Yes, you over there.
The director of The Skeptic was, I mean, kind of relatively a newbie. He's done 2 movies, but he's releasing a new one that has nothing to do with horror. But
so it's out of 5 or 6 skulls. My eyes aren't working. So
out of 5 or 6 skulls, how many would I give it?
No, that's how Shudder does their ratings. Sorry, I can't count skulls right now. That's okay. Oh, I also am caught up on American Horror Story, the new season.
Jealous.
Unbelievably dark.
Really?
And very serial killer heavy.
Okay,
that's
so I want to ask you this.
For AHS.
Oh, you didn't finish Carnival.
No, I did not. Don't need to. Unnecessary
freak
season.
Freak show.
Carnival.
Well, sorry. I was just going to ask because there were some really dark episodes there and I was going to ask if it was darker, but yeah.
Speaking of serial killers, I do need to make a correction.
Yes, you do.
You were called on your shit.
But maybe the tired was carrying over last week. I mistook the Green River Killer for the BTK killer, which honestly happens a lot to me. I don't know why with those two. So Dennis Rader, BTK, and the Green River Killer is Gary Ridgway. I apologize. Sometimes you mix it up, but sometimes there's great people like Hannah on our Facebook page to correct me. I really appreciate it. I won't do it again.
We do like being right. We don't like spreading inaccurate information.
Miss murder information. That seemed like a terrible AFI reference. I didn't like it at all. But yeah, we have a Facebook page. Search Friday on Facebook. Let's hang out there. It's a good place to have conversations with people like Hannah about serial killers. I know I'm gonna, because no one else does that in this room.
No.
Let's hang out someplace deserted.
Sure.
Yeah.
So is that all you watched this week?
We went to the theater and saw a really great movie.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, what I want to talk about is the story behind the great movie, because there's a lot of info that went into this, and they did a pretty good job of bringing legend into it.
The history of the other big man, St. Nick's shadow himself, Krampus, in this week's edition of Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
You guys know that today is the Feast of St. Nicholas?
What? No, I didn't.
December 6th is the Feast of St. Nicholas, and December 5th is known as Krampus Night. So last night was Krampus Night. Anything weird happened to anyone?
I slept in a car.
So I'm kind of excited about the fact
that... Not that weird for you.
Yeah, pretty normal.
We saw Krampus on Krampus Night.
I live in a vehicle, jazzed about by the that. Way.
I'm sorry.
Sometimes it moves. Krampus on Krampus Night?
We saw Krampus on Krampus Night, and that is actually a legitimate thing. I am not making that up. It's almost somewhat akin to like Day of the Dead.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So it's German though.
Well, it's Bavarian, which includes Austrian, German. It's where all the cool houses are.
Okay. That's where all
schnitzel.
All the reality is.
Well, I'm just saying it's like the beautiful stuff.
Sure. No, it is obviously very beautiful. All that Alpine.
Have you ever been to Leavenworth?
Yeah.
That Leavenworth is designed after that. So everything in Bavaria looks like Leavenworth.
Cool.
Very authentic. And there's schnitzel everywhere.
Okay.
It rains schnitzel.
Back to Krampus Night, please.
And because it rains schnitzel, Krampus comes out once a year on Krampus Night to eat schnitzel. And if he can't find schnitzel, he eats kids. Okay, that isn't really true.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure the schnitzel part is not real.
That's not true. None of that. Well.
But you can turn human flesh into schnitzel.
Okay, that's gross.
Well.
And I would never do that.
Hammer it out.
I would never advocate that.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I'm just saying.
Okay, so his name comes from the word for claw.
Cool.
So, like, he's a bad guy. He's pretty bad.
Like Inspector Gadget.
Right, exactly.
Right, so, oh, good call, guys.
Yeah.
There are two different versions of Krampus. I mean, there are gradations, obviously, but essentially one of them is just a bad guy that scares the shit out of people, and then one version of him is like, super sadistic and just straight up evil.
They both seem evil.
Right, but one of them actually is actively evil and the other one is just like super scary. So if we're going to talk about the one that's actively evil, all right, cloven hooves, black hair, long pointed tongue, straight up demon. I mean, he looks like a demon, right? He's got goat legs.
Is he a demon?
He's got horns. Yes, so, he is.
Okay, hold tight.
Yes.
Maybe I survived Krampus Night because I bought a vial of holy water from a dark arts supply store in Seattle.
But did you really?
I did.
That's weird. How much was it?
$4.50.
Seems like you could just into any church and just scoop it out of the fonts.
The fonts?
Yeah.
Is that what that's called?
There we go again. Can we come up with something for Sam's advanced word alert?
No. What is a font?
It's where the holy water goes.
God damn this guy.
It's the holy water bucket.
Like, really?
In the
Can
church.
You fucking believe that?
I can't believe it.
Things have words that describe them, and those things should be... Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a bottle that said holy water. So there's no real guarantee that anyone.
It's not toilet water.
It could be any sorts of water.
Might not even be water.
Okay.
What?
Getting back to Krampus. Basically, what happens on the eve of the Feast of St. Nicholas, which is truly known as Krampus Night, people in these Bavarian areas dress up like Krampus and they have parades and they dance around like an evil Krampus.
Are there pictures of this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. Lots of pictures. Okay.
They're going to be up at frightday.com in the show notes.
Krampus himself dates back long before Christian traditions. Krampus is pagan.
Tight.
And so he's been around for a really long time. There are two things that typically go along with Krampus. One is he's wearing chains, which rumor has it was the inspiration for Charles Dickens putting chains all over the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the other thing is he carries a bundle of twigs, which he uses to beat the shit out of children.
Ooh, bold.
And like in some areas of the world today, parents actually paint these bundles of twigs gold and hang them in the house like as Christmas decorations to remind their kids not to be shitheads. The parade itself, the running event, is called Krampusluft. It's called Krampus Run, if you translate it.
Kind of like running of the bulls.
Right, but it's the running of the Krampus.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, Krampusluft.
I don't even like, bulls are scary.
But bulls are scary, and I never want to do the running of the
Krampi.
Bulls.
Krampi.
Well,
Krampus,
I mean,
has horns too, right?
Some serious horns.
Jeez.
Like legit horns. If you go back to Victorian time period, you can actually find a lot of Krampus cards. They're a collectible thing, so I am now on a hunt for Krampus Christmas cards from Victorian England.
We need a P.O. box.
Yeah, we do, so that people can send them to us. Please send us. Oh, that'd be amazing. And truthfully, I mean, he kind of is a cryptid, if you think about it, because... Really?
Are demons cryptids? Are we really being that bold?
Well, I mean, some people say that they've seen them. So if
that
they've been witnessed...
That's not what that means.
Some people say they've seen...
A cryptid is
a lot of stuff.
Is an animal whose existence hasn't been proven, who people have claimed to witness.
Yeah, but demons aren't animals.
Well, I mean, this dude, he has horns like a goat. He has hooves like a goat. He sounds as far away from a human as Bigfoot. And Bigfoot is undeniably a cryptid.
I'll allow it for now.
Oh, you'll allow it? Are you the gatekeeper of cryptids?
I'm just too tired to argue about it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Somebody's got to keep every insane thing from making its way in there.
All right, whatever. Oh, my gosh. Sam, do you know... Here's a quiz for Sam. Do you know what you call a person who wears a mask or fantastic costume while merrymaking or taking part in a pantomime, especially at Christmas and other festive seasons? If he knows this, I might just... Sam, seriously, do you know the word?
No.
Mummer.
Oh, like the mummer's dance.
Well, there you go. He did know it.
He does know it. That's He's a smart
disgusting.
Man.
It's gross. So horrible to be married to somebody who puts your English knowledge to shame
it
constantly.
It is horrible.
Wait,
to be
what's
married.
Your major?
English.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, huh. I know.
Bummer.
I know. Yeah, it is a bummer.
You'll be all right.
Oh, gosh. Okay. There is a rumor that on Krampus night, Krampus appears. Not just people dressed up as Krampus, but there's a rumor that Krampus himself pops up.
Covered in chains.
Well, yeah, and carrying his bundles of sticks.
And what are the sticks for?
Beating the shit out of children.
But why are they in a bundle?
Well, because he's got a lot of children to track down and beat. And some of them break, I assume, when he's beating them.
I guess that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing that he is typically known to have, which is an interesting parallel to good old Saint Nick, bells.
Okay.
Which comes up in the movie.
Yeah,
we'll talk about
it
in a little bit. Basically, this whole holiday revolves around parents letting the men dressed up as Krampus yell at the kids, offering these demons a drink, and then the demons, or mummers, as it were, continue on to the next house to scare more kids. So men are reported as almost always being drunk.
No milk, no cookies, just vodka.
Just
right.
Nog.
All right.
Yeah, nog and on you go. Now, here's another interesting thing about Krampus. The Nazis... It
sounds like the Purge.
Ooh. I mean, it is a little bit.
I know who I'm going to be on the Purge.
Are you going to be Krampus?
I'm going to be Krampus.
I like it.
Okay. The Nazis hated Krampus.
No shit.
Hated.
Everyone hates Krampus.
So it's interesting if you trace back when...
Took their presents away.
When people came over to America originally, the tradition of Krampus was kind of left behind. Other than a few people, apparently in the Pennsylvania Dutch community, they had a tradition that was kind of similar to it. They called it Pelsnickel or Bellsnickel. So according to a lot of people, it doesn't have a huge place in American history. But if you get back to the Nazis, huge deal in that area of the world, obviously, because Germany's part of Bavaria.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently in 1934, the New York Times reported that in fascist Austria, anyone impersonating Krampus would be arrested.
Is it because he's not Aryan?
Well, yeah. And I think he's not Christian. Like, he predates the whole Christian society.
Wait, but... The Nazis weren't Christian either, though.
Weren't they?
No.
They were like occultists.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. We'll do a whole special.
I thought that they were like Aryan Christian.
They began as more Christian influenced, and then they just fucking abandoned all ships.
And they were super into occultism and paganism.
But They also hate fun.
That's true. And the other thing is, I suppose I could make a good argument. If they're Christian, they hate him because he's a devil. If they're not Christian, they hate him because he's kind of been incorporated into part of the Christian tradition because he's kind of like the devil.
Can we get into Nazi beliefs in another edition?
We will. We will. We'll do that. Cool. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, they like some wacky stuff.
Yeah. Anyhow, Krampus was banned by the Nazis. And then in the 50s, the Christian Social Party in Austria distributed pamphlets titled Krampus is an Evil Man, which seems kind of implied. I think that everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Eyes were opened by these pamphlets.
Right. Clearly. And towards the end of the century, so end of the 20th century, people started celebrating Krampus Night again, and it was really revived both artistically and celebration-wise in Bavaria. Now it's become really popular again for artists to hand-carve these wooden masks for the festival. Because of all of this new attention, there's been a lot of public debate in Austria about whether Krampus is appropriate for children or not.
What do you think?
I think he's great.
I'm torn.
Keeps kids scared. I mean, the whole like Santa Claus thing.
Childhood is about fear.
Yeah, as they should be terrified at all times.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
The world is scary.
I mean, yeah.
This is a real enemy.
Well,
and it's one that you can't do anything to protect yourself.
Yeah,
from.
How do you avoid Krampus?
Well, you keep the Christmas spirit. That's why I love the Krampus tradition so much. It's like
because under pain of death, it keeps people Christmassy.
Well, it's like an evil Polar Express, right?
I've never seen that movie.
God, you're horrible.
Are there rules about it's just generally keeping the Christmas spirit?
Well, okay, so that was my interpretation, which is the whole point of the movie. We'll talk about that more.
Yeah,
but
of
the
course.
Actual tradition seems to be just if kids are bad. In any way, shape, or form, Krampus comes. So Krampus comes, he takes care of the bad ones. Saint Nick comes, he takes care of the good ones. So that's why this whole naughty nice list matters so much. Because if you're on the naughty list, it's not just you don't get toys.
It's not coal, like I said earlier.
You get Krampus.
You get cramps.
Yeah, and that's nobody wants
that. Which is as like getting punked, except with disembowelment.
Well, what does I Krampus, guess.
He just watches you with a stick.
He does, but he can do really horrible things. I mean, there are places that depict him torturing kids.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it can get, like, I've got this one photo here, a greeting card from the 1900s that says, greetings from the Krampus, and it shows him stuffing a poor little boy in a sailor suit into a clothes hamper.
I see that.
While his sister watches.
Yeah, but his tongue's all out. Why is his tongue all out like that?
Because he's going to eat the child.
I don't like it one bit.
Yeah,
it makes me uneasy.
I thought there were lots of stories of him abducting children to cook and eat.
Could be. I don't know about that.
Maybe I made that up because that's what I want Krampus to be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe. I think the point is this is an old pagan tradition, which has kind of come into popularity again. And I think it's a fun addition to Christmas. I really do. I thought that I was going to hate this whole concept because I love Christmas so much. But I kind of like that it pulls in a whole different interest from a whole different crowd of people into the whole Christmas spirit.
So what can we start doing to celebrate Krampus Night? You just have to keep the fire going and keep the spirit alive.
Well, and we're supposed to get carved masks to make us look like Krampus.
So you're hiding in plain sight here.
Yeah, you put Krampus masks on and then we can like go from door to door, get alcohol and scare the shit out of the kids. Because that's apparently what you do. It's like trick-or-treating for adults, apparently.
So I think now they call that home invasion.
Well, no, but like the people are waiting for it. They're oh, trick or treat.
I don't know if
holy
I
shit.
Want to be
so
doing that
Silent Night, you know the remake of Silent Night.
Okay.
Imagine a new Krampus movie where it's like Krampus, but he's like the your next guys doing a home invasion, sneaking in dressed as Krampus, but he's like a real person.
Ew.
Like
that'd
a scary
be pretty
person. Good. Yeah, I'm all about it. What I'm not all about is the amount of phony Krampus movies that have come out recently.
Oh my gosh, did you look at the list?
There are
so many Krampus movies.
We have a lot of just straight up Krampuses, which is, I don't know how they pulled it off. I guess they were shorts, most of them. But then there's Krampus the Reckoning.
Krampus the Christmas Devil.
The Krampus. Krampus Beware the Krampus. Der Krampus, which is actually a 1969 TV movie.
Really?
Yeah, I've never...
Der Krampus.
Yeah, it seems very German.
German.
Yeah, that sounds fun. And Krampus, did you say The Devil Returns? You did.
No, I said Krampus the Christmas Devil.
Oh, so The Devil Returns. Don't know if it's a sequel.
Oh, it must be a sequel. I don't know why they did, though, because Krampus the Christmas Devil has a 2.0 on IMDb.
We don't need this much Krampus.
And well...
Whatever happened to Kevin Smith's Krampus movie? He was going to do a Krampus anthology.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Are we cramped out?
No, well, maybe, but not all Krampus movies are bad. Rare Exports is a phenomenal film by any metric.
What is that, episode 4 of our podcast we did?
Yeah, because it was right when we started, because it was Christmas season.
Yeah, so if you want to go back and listen to that, I don't know how good it would be.
I don't know how good we were on episode 4.
I don't
four.
Ever recommend that anyone listen to anything other than the current episode that we are recording right now at this minute, because it's fun. The best one.
Yeah, rare exports. It's interesting that that hasn't been brought up more in the media in relation to the launch of Krampus, the feature here.
Well,
yeah.
I think give it some time. I mean, I really do think that there are a bunch of very, very cool old school traditions that are just lurking and waiting to be reborn as very fun, inventive horror stories. And this is one such story. I think it's really fun.
Is there anything else we need to know about Krampus?
Well, I think the upshot is today is the Feast of St. Nicholas. So all who made it to today survived Krampus Night.
Oh, good.
I think that perhaps next year we should do something to celebrate Krampus Night. Maybe like we should work on ordering ourselves some masks between now and then.
I'm going to carve one.
But all of you out there, I encourage you to start traditions in your community to get this whole Krampus Night, this like adult Krampus clothed trick-or-treating thing going on where you go from door to door and you collect alcohol and scare the schnitzel. Shit out of kids. If you could collect schnitzel, oh,
all right,
I'd be all over it.
You just get plastered and yell at the neighborhood kids
and eat
like
schnitzel.
You want to the rest of the year, but you
right,
can do it tonight.
Right, so I encourage you to start this tradition in your own community. Let us know how that's going for you, and hopefully next year at
you're
Krampus time, you're not in jail and we can celebrate together.
Oh, that sounds great. Kelly, thank you so much for explaining Krampus. I knew very little going into this.
Oh my God, you're so welcome.
Other than what I learned in this movie, which was actually very informative.
It was very informative, and I am so excited to talk about this movie.
So why don't we... Let's talk about it.
Let's do.
Okay.
Let's review Krampus.
You're enjoying your visit here this evening. Now, on with the show.
Krampus is a 2000.
Oh, wait.
What?
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Oh my God.
I totally forgot. I've just got a lot of energy today and I
out
forgot.
Of line.
Yeah, I forgot that I was going to tell you about something that is in line with cryptids that I needed to discuss with both of you.
What do we do? What do we rewind
the
show?
Guys? No, just wait. It's just an aside.
Okay.
Did you guys know that the giant panda used to be a cryptid?
God damn it, Kelly.
Isn't that amazing? And everybody knows that the giant panda is real, but people that used to see
that's
the giant
what
panda.
The panda lobby
called,
wants you to believe.
People that used to see the giant panda were called crazy.
So wait, bring it down and.
Yeah, true.
Okay, how often did people see pandas? It was
not
just,
very often. I mean, like.
Is
yeah.
It, is it because they don't f?
Okay, they do. You're really mean to pandas.
I'm not mean to them. I think they're great. And that
Byron's just a little bitter.
Oh my God. The first time that they were seen alive by like a scientist that could document them was 1916.
Really?
Like for literally hundreds of years, they were believed to be a complete manifestation of crazy people.
So you're saying that the Loch Ness Monster is actually a panda?
No, I'm not.
And Sasquatch, he is actually a panda.
Makes
he's,
sense.
No. That's my point
why
is,
the
So just imagine if Sasquatch is
Patterson
really a super
Gimlin
smart
so
person,
bad.
The panda wasn't trying to stay hidden, and it stayed hidden for hundreds of years. So imagine if Sasquatch is trying to stay
it's
hidden.
It's because it's camouflage for its jungle home.
Oh my God.
It's black and white.
Anyhow, the point is...
What?
There are other animals, too, that have been... called cryptids in the past and then discovered to be real. And I'm just pointing out that the panda is one that everybody loves. Everybody loves the panda, okay? And
I do have to add, technology has advanced quite a bit since 1916. Yeah.
Yes, but like I said, that difference could be made up for simply by the fact that Sasquatch is a smarter being and trying not to be found.
Krampus is an American horror comedy that came out this year. Based on a Alpine folklore man? Demon? Figure?
Demon.
Okay. Directed by Michael Dougherty. Let's give him the respect he deserves. And starring Adam Scott, Toni Collette, David Koechner, Alison Tolman, and a bunch of other really great actors and actresses. Sam, do you want to tell us what this movie is all about?
Sure. When his dysfunctional family clashes over the holidays, young Max is disillusioned and turns his back on Christmas. Little does he know, this lack of festive spirit has unleashed the wrath of Krampus, a demonic force of ancient evil intent on punishing non-believers. all hell breaks loose as beloved holiday icons take on a monstrous life of their own, laying siege to the fractured family's home and forcing them to fight for each other if they hope to survive.
So before we talk too much about the actual movie, I'd like to talk more about my theatrical experiences, because I feel like this is something we need to take advantage of when we get to leave the dungeon caves.
It's nice.
I do want to mention that during the entire movie, I was sitting next to a schizophrenic homeless man who was
No, you weren't.
Counting change the whole time, moving it from pocket to pocket and just rattling it.
Well, that's not distracting.
No.
Well, he was trying to simulate the chains in the movie.
Maybe he was Krampus. He could have been Krampus. He had a large beard.
Did he smell like he could have been Krampus?
I didn't get close enough to smell. I almost asked him to stop and then realized that he was mentally ill. So I avoided it and got over
it. And the mentally ill stab you.
I was concerned about that. Yeah, he was muttering and like gesturing towards the screen a little
really?
Bit. Yeah, I mean, Seattle, Washington.
Yeah.
It was fun. Kelly left the room. Where are you going?
Very cold.
Okay, sure. Sam?
All right. Cold in the studio today.
Yeah, sure. How was your experience, Sam?
I don't really know how to follow that, Byron.
Well, was the
there
theater,
were no
was
schizophrenic
it,
people?
Was it full?
Yeah, it was actually extremely full. We were thinking we were going to waltz in. We went to a matinee because that's what you do when you have kids.
Adult stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
this was on a Saturday.
It was on a it was actually on Krampus night.
Everyone knows Krampus night. Everyone showed up in their wooden masks.
They did. It was disquieting.
Jesus.
Holy
Twizzler bucket.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
But yeah, it was really cool to see. And actually, the audience was well behaved, which is not to be taken for granted on a PG-13 horror movie.
Yeah.
But it was awesome, awesome, awesome to see that many people at an extremely unpopular time watching theatrical horror.
Everyone's a bit surprised with the success of this film. I think it broke 16 million. I read this last night while driving at 3 a.m.
Yeah, it took the number one spot at the box office
this
weekend. Yeah,
kind of incredible.
It beat out Pixar.
Who would have thought that? What's that? The Good,
the
Dinosaur?
Good Dinosaur?
Did
yeah.
that come out this
yeah.
weekend too? Jeez.
Or 2 weeks ago.
Maybe. I think maybe it was 2 weeks, but nonetheless, that's pretty incredible for a horror film. Trailers. I was at an AMC theater, so I don't know if they
had. Did you see The Boy?
I did see the trailer for the Other Boy.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Byron. It's The Other Boy. There's only one The Boy.
What do you think about that?
Well, I obviously think it looks scary, and you guys obviously both think it looks completely stupid.
The worst movie.
Yeah, it's a doll.
I love Maggie from The Walking Dead, but a movie about a dead boy who takes the form of a doll that moves when no one's looking, and you have to follow some sort of rules?
Yeah, Annabelle was stupid.
Annabelle was bad, and this looks like a more intensely focused Annabelle story.
Yeah, I was shocked that it wasn't Blumhouse.
That's true. I didn't even pay attention to that. Blumhouse hasn't really announced anything. They were knocking them out the park for a while. I'm trying to think.
I don't know about knocking them out of the park.
Well, they were knocking
them. They were
them
shitting them out.
They were going forward with a lot of projects. That's interesting. The Boy, The Other Boy. How does that work? I don't know how distribution rights and names.
I don't know, because it's very confusing. Because The Boy by Craig McNeil and Clay McLeod Chapman is fantastic.
Absolutely. Indie film came out. It was the first Chiller feature, and it set quite the precedent. I hope that things keep rolling that direction. But it's so much more. I guess we haven't seen The Boy.
Do we know what the next Chiller movie is?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dig that up real quick.
I'm looking.
Completely different films. Makes me kind of sad. The other one's obviously some sort of jump scare cash in.
Yeah, because you're going to have a bunch of 12-year-olds going to middle school. Hey, did you see The Boy? Yeah, I saw The Boy.
They should be watching The Other Boy.
They should be watching The Other Boy.
Now they're both The Other Boy.
Okay,
I don't know how this works. What's
up? It does look like there have been quite a few movies that Chiller was the production company on.
Okay.
But there have only been three where Chiller was the distribution filmography.
And one was The Boy.
The first was Monkey's Paw.
Okay.
Second was The Boy. And the new one is Siren.
I don't know. I don't know much about that, but I'm looking forward to it. I think they're doing the right thing. I don't necessarily think The Boy is going to be the right thing, but what can you do with a movie with a boy named Brom?
Did you see any? Yeah, Brom.
Yeah.
Like Brom Bones.
Did you see? Okay. Nitpicking. Brom's tombstone just said Brom on it.
Did it?
Just the first name.
Oh.
I thought that was really goofy.
That might be part of the story. I wouldn't be surprised if that was part of the story.
No, but maybe, is that what happens when you're buried in a family plot?
Yeah, you're in the
last name is implied.
The Johnson plot.
Is that how that works?
Slap your name. Yeah, Dad Johnson. Ma Johnson.
That's kind of fun. I think I like that now.
You should start a family plot.
I think I'm going to see The Boy.
That did it for
that
you?
That was it.
Did you get any other previews that were worth mentioning?
Horror-wise, I mean, not really The Forest, but we've seen that trailer. Did you get The Forest trailer?
We did get The Forest.
I think it's going to be good. It's another PG-13, though.
It was an interesting concept, at least the setting. I mean, Mount Fuji in Japan.
That's a real thing, the Suicide Forest.
Yeah, and I thought that was super cool.
Maybe we'll do a whole thing on the Suicide Forest when we watch The Forest.
When does that come out?
January.
Okay, because I'm starting to make my most anticipated of 2016 list. You
and
know?
It's just The Boy right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just thrilled about the boy.
No, I don't know that that's going to make my list. Let's not be ridiculous. No,
I know. But I actually think for a PG-13, The Forest looks okay.
Agreed.
Did you guys get any other genre-related stuff?
I mean, Hateful Eight isn't really horror, but let's be real. It looked amazing.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you hear what happened, though? They did the second. So you know how he filmed it in, 70 millimeter?
70 millimeter Panavision.
Yeah. Glorious. Is that
it was
what it is?
A super big deal. Super big deal. It's the first movie in like 3 decades that's been filmed that way. However, the second showing of the movie, it was to an audience of critics. Okay. The whole first half of the movie, it was out of focus. No. Like it wouldn't work. And then halfway through the movie, they said they were going to show the rest digitally because they couldn't get it to focus correctly.
No.
Yeah. So that's kind of a bummer for good old QT.
See, I'm just wondering how they're going to be able to do that. Do they have to ship projectors into all the theaters that are showing that? Or is there...
I have no idea about the logistics.
I read something about it. It was like, you know how Crispin Glover does like his traveling show? Okay, you know
he's
that.
He's a weirdo.
But it's almost like that where he has to travel around. It's like a traveling equipment thing.
So when I saw Spectre, I saw it at a Cinerama, which is apparently one of the 3 remaining Cinerama theaters in America. And they show something, it's called 3-panel projection, which I don't know anything about that. Do you know?
Well, it's like wraparound, right?
Yeah, it kind of curves, yeah. So
that's the extent of my knowledge.
It's basically, it's the predecessor to IMAX is what it was. And literally, there are 3 separate panels that are projected on. And so it's like I said, it's basically what they had before they had IMAX. It was a super big deal when they did it.
Do you need something special for 70 millimeter? Are we completely out of our league on this?
I think we're
totally
well
out of our
over our heads.
Fantastic.
Here.
Yeah.
I do know that I'm excited for The Hateful Eight. And was this a theatrical only trailer, or have I just been hiding from all of the Hateful Eight trailers?
I have never seen a trailer for it.
I after I saw the movie, I went and looked up the trailer and showed it to my dad. So it's obviously available.
Yeah. But same cut of the trailer. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And there was a Star Wars cut as well. Was that?
Ooh, we didn't see that one.
Oh, never mind. I won't talk about it.
Thank you.
Looks very good. The Fifth Wave.
Didn't see that
Didn't see it?
No, we got fucking The Divergent.
That's a bummer. Yeah. So the Fifth Wave, have you seen any trailers about this?
No.
These aliens come kind of like a Independence Day type thing, and they do all these waves of attacks. Like the opening scene has one of my biggest fears of all time. This airplane just like stops and falls out of the sky. The idea that just stops working. Whatever. Sci-fi film. Lots of war aliens. Other than that, I saw Deadpool. Did you guys get that trailer?
God damn it. No, we did not.
Nope.
You guys are missing out.
I love Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds has been doing some really cool stuff this year. You guys didn't see The Voices yet?
No.
VOD horror.
Super dark comedy, right?
Yeah, check it out. That might make one of my lists. Thanks for reminding me. Is a thing we're going to be doing at the end of the year, top 13 list.
In a couple episodes, yeah.
Great. On to the feature.
Feature.
Krampus. As you heard in the synopsis, a sad family, which I couldn't help but think Home Alone. Was I alone in this?
Oh my God.
No.
It was Home Alone. It was Polar Express.
I don't know that movie.
It was Christmas Carol. I mean, it had all of these elements. Okay. Did you ever read the book,
beginning.
Polar Express?
But we're talking about Home Alone at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. No, but even at the beginning, it felt exactly like Polar Express because we've got this kid who has the Christmas spirit and everybody else is trying to tell him that there's no Santa Claus, but there is. And the only person backing him up is his grandma. And so he's like trying
take
to maintain the Christmas
for me, please.
Spirit. For everybody.
You're going to have to take a breath.
And that's just like Polar Express. Byron, surely you read the book. And
no.
It's about the kid. Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
It's about the kid who's trying to like believe in Christmas and everybody keeps telling him that Santa Claus doesn't exist. And then the train comes and picks him up. The train comes and picks him up in the middle of the night.
That's about the true meaning of dismemberment.
I saw that video.
But the whole thing is he gets a bell from Santa's sleigh.
Okay.
And that's his proof.
Well,
and so that's why this was just exactly like that.
Okay.
And he had a bell.
I need you to talk about the current film.
There's too much Christmas spirit coming through the mic.
Oh my God.
Overloading.
I love Christmas so much. This is so great.
I'm so tired.
I'm sorry. So, I'm sorry.
I want to start with PG-13.
God, you just always do this. It's such an annoying focus.
No, but this is not, because it's one of the few PG-13s that maybe the second one this year that has worked for me. The other would be The Final Girls.
What about The Visit?
Oh, it's been a good year for PG-13. Maybe.
Was The Visit PG-13? Are you sure it wasn't R?
Yes.
It was PG-13.
Shyamalama Ding Dong.
Stop it. Please. New Year's resolution. No ding dongs.
So I think the other thing that we need to bring up is, in the very beginning, it's obviously a National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation throwback.
Well, maybe that's just because it's Christmas.
No,
the cousin Eddie.
Oh, I guess you're right.
Oh my God. Holy, I mean, like, shit. Hardcore. This was an homage to every amazing Christmas movie. Then with just a film of horror put over it, it kind of is the epitome of everything I love in the universe.
So I talked to one of my friends on the phone after I watched this, and he was not so satisfied with the first act of the film.
Bullshit.
I thought it was a pretty good...
Your friend's an idiot.
Well, that's our friend, so let's not...
Friend's an idiot.
All right. But it was a pretty solid comedy drama Christmas movie. And I thought it was like above average in that genre.
Tell him he needs to watch some of the Hallmark Christmas specials to change
his metric. Let's not compare that. Come on now. That doesn't seem reasonable to do.
I agree. That first act would not have been out of place in a big budget, family, slightly racy, seasonal comedy.
Absolutely.
Like of a very high quality.
And I guess we should talk about budget too. We're just jumping all over. $15 million. For Mike Doherty, who did Trick or Treat. Is he going to do all the holidays? Is this a thing?
Oh my God, I love it.
That's,
I hope so.
An excellent question.
This is what happens when indie directors that have a solid vision get the money they deserve. As much as I like VOD horror, I still think that there's something really cool that can come out of having enough money to get what's in your head on the screen.
I absolutely agree. And he also did like one of the X-Men movies, didn't he?
No.
I know he did one of the X-Men movies.
He's in his credits there.
He definitely did.
No, he didn't.
No, Byron, he did.
He wrote the screenplay for X-Men 2.
Bam! No way.
You.
No, it's okay. Don't
and he's writing X-Men Apocalypse.
Really?
You twice. Okay.
So he's deep in it, but this is his second film he's directed?
Season's Greetings, which is a short in 1996. Okay. Cartoon Sushi, which is a TV series. He did one episode of that in 97. Then Trick or Treat in 2007. Another short in 2011. Now Krampus and Trick or Treat 2, which is announced.
I hope it happens. But yeah, so great. I love him. I think that this was definitely, you could see a lot of Trick or Treat in this.
Absolutely. Just, he did such a great job of immersing you in that environment. Just like in Trick or Treat, like you felt like you're in that town on that night. You felt, or at least I felt like I was hiding in a house with killer snowman outside waiting for Krampus.
Living out every awesome Christmas movie ever.
Honestly, not all of the references to me were Christmas, though. Did you see Tremors in this?
Oh, totally. Oh, with the underneath the snow?
Yeah. Well, let's not... Now I have to beep all that. We're not going to... Come on now. There's a lot of spoiler alert. No, not spoiler alert. Take it back. I'll just beep it. But yeah, there's a lot of elements that go into this that are very... I think kind of secretive. And
one reference that I have seen in write-ups on this movie a lot is Joe Dante.
Okay. Yeah. And I was going to say Gremlins.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. Very much.
I don't think I've ever seen Gremlins or haven't seen it for 15
years. It's a great Christmas horror.
Well, isn't Gremlins 2 more Christmas?
No, Gremlins 1 is Christmas.
Okay. I believe you. I haven't seen them very
much. Oh, no. Are we bad people?
I mean, yeah, but not for that.
Okay. That's what I've heard a million times in reference to this movie is Gremlins repeatedly. And I guess my childhood memories can work with that, but I just don't know enough about Gremlins.
Well...
I do know a little bit.
Do you know about A Christmas Carol? Well, because clearly this was a throwback to A Christmas Carol. I mean, the ghost of Christmas past is like Krampus with the chains and everything. And
okay.
If you look at all of the different renditions from the freaking Jim Carrey one to the Disney one to the Muppets one, the ghost of Christmas past...
I don't want to see any of those.
...is always like the hooded one that you don't really get to see. Like he's the spooky one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, is it
anyone likes the Christmas story?
Is that past or is that yet to come? I think it's actually yet to come. It's yet to come. The past one is the jolly fat guy. Yeah. So
my touchstone is for all these is Bill Murray's Scrooged.
Right.
So he's the taxi driver.
Correct.
The fat taxi driver.
Scary.
I don't understand that movie.
You don't understand Scrooged?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm too tired.
Byron is kind of broken, isn't he?
I'm not doing great. Adam Scott did great.
He was amazing.
Oh, so good.
He was so good.
We got a little bit of David Koechner in there.
I don't know who he is.
What? Cheap Thrills, bald guy. Whammy.
He plays the Cousin Eddie character.
Oh, Cousin Eddie. Didn't he play Cousin Eddie in one of the movies?
No.
I feel like he did.
No.
Are you kidding
me? It was always Dennis Quaid?
Of course it was a Quaid.
Always Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid.
His brother.
Right. The better one.
Dennis should fill in, though.
Yeah, Koechner was the high point. Like, he got to be, everyone else was kind of this, well, Adam Scott was the straight man, and David Koechner kind of got to be the ham, and it was delightful.
I loved the kid. I thought the kid in it did such a good job. It's so easy for a child actor to freaking ruin a movie like that, because he's so central to it. He did an awesome job. I felt like I was him trying to get everybody on board with the Christmas spirit.
Sure.
I loved him for it. I just loved him.
What I did like, though, is also the evolution of the characters throughout. They play these kind of stereotypes at the beginning, and then they evolve. All the characters grow in this movie. Adam Scott is a lot braver at the end than he is at the beginning. And Koechner is a lot softer and more caring. You don't usually see that kind of development in a horror film like this.
Yeah, I agree. Can we do dead giveaways?
I mean, are we really going to jump into that right now? Well,
like, I really want to talk about, I really need to talk about a dead giveaway.
Not yet.
Sam, what do you got?
I loved the blizzard.
Yeah.
It was done so well. The snow looked great, and it was so, I'm trying to think of a word other than claustrophobic.
Stifling.
I use that a lot.
Stifling.
Yeah. And it really compressed their world down to just the street and then just the house. And it was so cool. It was so well shot, perfectly executed. It looked like snow.
Looked cold as fuck.
Yeah. And I found myself shivering.
Like small detail. They're like, we were out there for 10 minutes and we almost got frostbite. And you could see like the red, like marks, kind of like that pre-frostbite. Like there's so many small details that went into that. Very effective. And pretty good practical throughout this entire movie. There's cool elements, like the way the house kind of breaks down, the cracking and the lights. There's all these amazing practical effects. Not talking about the monsters even yet. Just the environment.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And the whole thing is lit basically by candlelight inside, and then outside it's just kind of a small otherworldly glow in an otherwise very flat, you know, blizzardscape. The lighting plays a huge role in, I think, how the practical effects mesh with some of the things that I think were a little more obviously CG, but it really helped blur that line.
It's when CG's bad is when you see it. I mean, obviously there's no physical Krampus jumping from rooftop to rooftop, but I never found myself questioning what I was seeing.
So, yeah.
Very successful. One more thing before dead giveaways. Holy shit. I wrote it down on this phone.
Like with a Sharpie, he did.
I wrote on the screen of my phone.
That's terrible. Byron, you need a nap.
I'm working on it, man. I'm almost there. Bold. I wrote the word bold down in my phone. They didn't really hold back from doing things that may upset the audience.
Oh, yeah. Like,
right off the bat, a lot of things happened that you're like, is that seriously? Is that,
like, what?
Are we there already?
Oh, yeah. Like,
we'll talk about it.
Well, if you're going to bring it up, can we do dead giveaways so I can talk about it?
I just want to say before we launch into this, maybe we should, let's tell them not our grades, but let's say that we all really support this movie. And
yeah.
before the dead giveaways part begins, go to the theater and watch this movie. Great director. Amazing end piece, and it's perfect for the holiday season.
And going to see this movie in the theater is only going to help get him the resources he needs to make Trick or Treat 2 as fucking rad as the first one was.
Absolutely. So,
and for those of you that are worried about seeing a horror movie at Christmas time, this movie is all about the Christmas spirit. I will vouch for that.
I am
a Christmas spirit gatekeeper.
Time for dead giveaways. This is the point in the show where we spoil a movie. If you don't want this movie ruined, I highly recommend you pause and leave your house and watch Krampus before continuing this podcast.
Yeah.
Kelly, you were pretty...
Okay, so first off, they kill off one of the main characters, or what you think is going to be one of the main characters, in like the first few minutes.
Or do they?
But, right.
But we'll get there.
Right. So that was kind of, in terms of bold moves, I totally agree.
It blew my mind.
Yeah, it blew my mind too. But what I really want to talk about is the last scene.
Well, what I would actually like to still talk about the scene that you just wanted not to talk
about. You guys talk about that.
We're going to be okay, and you're going to talk too. The main female youngster in this movie eliminated almost immediately. The sister of one of the main characters.
Yeah, who's a teenager. And that's where, you were like, wow.
Well, it just seemed like a piece that was going to be necessary in a developed plot. But maybe that's just me writing movies in my head while I watch movies. Which is cool to be to be blindsided by something like that in the middle of a movie.
And kids getting eaten by some unseen, horrible, munching, chomping, slavering monster in a Christmas movie.
Oh, God.
Like, wow, this is PG-13. This is pretty cool.
Was there a point where this movie wasn't PG-13? Was it going to be R at a certain point?
I don't know, but it felt like it. I think that in terms of what they allow, they went right up to the line.
Say, like six shits. They said shit six times. There was a point where David Koechner's character says, "Merry Christmas, mother fuck," and then shit. Yeah. Right.
And then they used their one allowance, their one F allowance.
Wait,
too.
Did they?
Yeah. The horrible fat aunt goes, "We're fucked."
Yeah.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. When she says, I'm old enough to know when the world's coming at you with its pants down.
Oh, you're right. Good call. I hated her, by the way.
Oh, she was repugnant.
Terrible person.
But you were supposed to, so she did a good job.
Yeah, no, it was delightful.
I also caught one more, which I think was probably ADR'd. It said, "Give me back my kids, you fudger." So I don't think that she would have said fudger in the situation that happened, even though they were being attacked by gingerbread men.
Which was amazing.
A great holiday treat.
And the terrifying robot creature and the stuffed animal and the Jack in the Box. It was
my
amazing.
Favorite.
Jack in the Box was Tremors, obviously.
That's true. But my favorite was the angel. The one that had
angel was
the
great.
Creepy with the doll face on
Unreal
it.
Unreal scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, super scary.
And that those could have been so easily bad. All of these CG.
In concept, it's a terrible
I guess
they
idea. CG. Part of it
I
had
think
to
some
be.
Some of it. Like the teddy bear.
Yeah.
The teddy grizzly bear.
But do you think the Jack in the Box, when it opens its mouth, like the main scene that everyone's seeing, I think that was practical.
Are you talking about like its mouth
where
it does the alien
open.
Thing?
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
I think that is practical with the CG overlay.
I think there's a lot of little subtle things which made it work perfectly. All this stuff, there was nothing that drew me out of it.
And so, the Tremors thing to me was more even the, obviously the outside scenes where the snow burrower.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think that was the Jack in the Box. I think that was something else that we never got to
see. Something else too. Yeah, I don't, because there was a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like elves.
And they came, exactly. And the elves, when they came in, they took the injured Jack in the Box guy.
Yeah.
Like he was the only one.
I think so too. But I mean, there's no way to know because they never really pull anything out of the snow.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
Holy shit, though. The elves even had the scariest cult-like masks.
Yeah.
It was like Lords of Salem at some point.
Super, super scary.
And I swear, one of them even had that little upside down, like the pitchfork
What is that? I think Lords of Salem, but because like the main character, Cherry Moon Zombie, has kind of the same little pitchfork thing on her forehead. And there's even a scene later on nearing the end where they're having a bit of a bonfire type situation.
A party.
Which reminded me a lot of Lords of Salem too, but I could just have been in the zone at that point with the pitchfork insignia. Is that a thing?
No.
I don't know if that's the right word. I am tired. But... Also, one other thing. I think if you just replace red blood with green blood, you got yourself a PG-13. Because that's all that came out of the bad guys. I mean, Koechner had a pretty nasty leg wound, but...
But that was a wound. It wasn't
And it didn't focus on it that much.
Yeah.
So last scene?
Yeah. Well, no. One more thing I want to reference. There was a chimney dragging scene, which reminded me a lot of a shot from Wreck, too.
Oh,
not
yeah.
two, but Wreck as well. So... Mm-hmm. I think this guy just has a really good grip on great moments from horror films.
Great moments from Christmas films, too.
Well, that's fine as well.
He is so obviously a big old Christmas movie fan.
I think he's a holiday fan. I think he loves it all.
Yeah, I like him. I like his spirit.
I like him a lot as well. We didn't talk about the grandma at all.
I loved her.
Why is she speaking German?
Because she's from Germany.
Yeah, but and Max
it's
somehow
easier
knows.
For her.
Yeah, because Max learned it to communicate with her because he's not an asshole.
He cares about her. He cares about
kid.
His grandma.
What do you think about the animation?
I
loved thought it was super cool.
It reminded me of like what Kevin Smith attempted in Tusk.
Yeah. It reminded me of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Come on now.
Okay, no, but it did. Sam, do you remember that animation?
Yeah.
It totally did.
horror podcast.
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
It was exactly the same.
I liked it. I thought it was an interesting little insert in there. It was a fun way to tell the grandma's backstory. It's just another card in the deck, I guess, that Michael Dougherty has. Like, it was excellent animation. I mean, you could have made a whole movie in that style, and it would have been great.
It was like Coraline, but like more Pixar'd, I guess.
Yeah.
Really cool moments. And what was the grandma's name? Omi?
And Omi. I don't know if that's her name or it's just, you know, a name for grandma.
But I heard that she's actually German too, and she flew out for the premiere as a surprise and didn't tell anyone.
I kept trying to convince Sam for the first 5 minutes of the movie that it was actually Sissy Spacek.
Well, it's not.
No,
it's not.
It clearly is not.
Come on,
it's
now.
Extremely evident.
Yeah, I know.
Any other moments you want to spoil?
Yes, there is. Can we talk about the very end?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, but can we build up to it?
Yes. Stop teasing me then.
No, I just want to say that we had something that's really cool in horror, strong female leads. Although Keckner and Adam Scott kind of dominated that part at the beginning, action-wise, when things really hit the fan. You've got Omi, who's very brave. She kind of pulls a Dante's Peak at a certain point, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's an excellent analogy. I like that.
And and then I don't know the name of the aunt.
Fargo.
Fargo. We're going to call her Fargo?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I don't know her name, so she's Fargo.
Well, I'm looking it up.
She did a great job. She was really fun as a, you know, like Cousin Eddie's wife, who turns out to be pretty damn cool by the end of the movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. Evolution of characters. One more time. Yeah.
She and Toni Collette really kind of kicked ass.
And they, up until the end, very much kick ass. First of all, also, I want to see Adam Scott in an action movie as soon as possible. Because if John Krasinski of The Office gets to be in that Benghazi flick, why can't Adam Scott be in something where he's this intense?
I agree. Allison Tolman.
Yeah. She did a great interview on The Nerdist. You guys should check out.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. Working up to this moment, we've got a lot of taking out of characters. Extremely great for the crescendo of this film.
Oh, they freaking drop like flies. They just start going one after the other after the other.
And nothing's sacred.
Right. So you really can't predict what the hell's going to happen, which is amazing. And then...
Wait, hold tight.
Oh my God, so badly I want to talk about the end.
No, but did you make a decision of what the end of the movie was going to be? Because I kind of found...
When people were dropping like flies?
Yeah, when that actually starts happening.
No, I had an idea and it turned out not to be right.
Okay.
I confess. I wasn't even trying. I was just enjoying
That's
the
great.
Ride.
That's great. I wish I could do that. But at this point, I started really thinking about the fact that there was going to be... no one left except for Max, who made this Krampus wish, you know?
But that's exactly what happened to Grandma, right?
It is, but...
So you believe it to be a possibility because it's exactly what happened to Grandma.
Exactly, but I didn't think that they would dare end a PG-13 big budget release on that sort of down. I wished that they did, but
okay,
I knew that they wouldn't.
And this is where we get to what note they really ended it on.
Okay.
Because I've, like, in my own brain, I have multiple interpretations of the end. So... like, super, super spoiler alert. Everybody dies.
Except
Max. He tries to talk Krampus into bringing everybody back. He says, take me, bring everybody back. Krampus basically says, puck you, buddy. Throws the last cousin into a pit of hell and then throws Max in with her. And then as he's falling, like, all of a sudden, blah, 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 like, lights go. And then he wakes up and it was all a dream. And he goes downstairs and there's his family opening Christmas presents. But you can tell immediately there's this weird glow element to all of the film at this chunk in the movie.
It's pretty soft. Yeah.
It's very soft and very bright. Okay. Which is incredibly different from the rest of the movie. And as he's opening, and again, this is 100%. Sam, you've seen and read Polar Express, so you know this. 100% Polar Express homage. He opens a present that nobody knows who it's from, and in it is the bell from Krampus, okay?
And Krampus gives, as you said earlier in the show, bells?
Right, like as reminders.
To the survivors.
Sure.
Which,
to remember to not f*** around.
Right, but here's the deal, okay? So, then it zooms out, and it shows this, that this is inside a snow globe, and
well,
that there's
no,
this giant... Hold on, no, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, There's a moment, though, where everyone else starts to realize. They look over at the Krampus bell that Max has opened up, and they kind of get that moment where they're like, they realize as well
what had happened to them.
Like, I thought it was just a dream as well. It's kind of like Lost when they're figuring out the purgatory situation in the finale of Lost that I just spoiled.
Yeah.
But, you know, like where...
Jeez, Byron.
I don't care. Where, like,
if people don't know by now.
Where moments start coming back, and it gives it this kind of eerie, like...
Right, but here's the thing.
Sure.
So it zooms out.
Pulling back.
And it's in a snow globe, and then you see just like this deep, dark dungeon that kind of reminded me of Jeepers Creepers with like snow globes everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Well, Krampus sets the and snow globe.
And so Krampus
down.
Is obviously collecting snow globes. But here's the thing. Do you think that means that he just keeps an eye on all these people, and if any of them fuck up again, he goes and gets them? Or does it mean that he already has them? I was trying to decide between that.
I think he owns the families.
Yeah.
That's the dark way I went with it, that these are all of the families that Krampus has taken, and there's a lot of them.
But, like, why would it be such a happy-go-lucky fun zone in there, then?
It wasn't. That was the point.
They were all opening their presents, and they were all
but
together.
But they all remember until they what realize. Happened.
Yeah, and then it hit, and then that's their life forever now.
But what's their life forever?
Is remembering that they fucked up.
And right, but inside their house, like, is it all happy? Because... they were all happy at the end. Like
they were not happy.
No, I think that they all realized that, holy shit, this did happen. But I think you can take it one of two ways. You can take it, holy shit, this did happen. Moving, you know, just like the grandma survived. She knew that it happened for real and she had to live her life differently thereafter.
Now, there's a bit of a hole there. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So you could go either direction, but I don't understand if this was really Krampus world, why he would create this like beautiful place for them that was this happy home. And then let them live
really,
in that.
I really think you're misinterpreting the couch pull away because they were not happy when they all saw the bell.
I don't know that they were.
It was like dropping. Terrifying. It was like gut dropping. Like, fuck.
Well, yeah, because they were like, holy shit, this really did happen.
But you're saying that was the moment that they were okay
with
them?
No. I'm saying, okay. Okay.
Yes, before that, everything was good. And then they realized that.
But so what happens next? What in your head, what happens next?
The movie ends.
Yeah.
No. But what happens to that family next?
I don't think that necessarily matters. I think
that's everything.
I think they're just going to live in that moment knowing that they died and just, you know,
hell,
eventually figuring out
right?
that it's, like, yeah, they're stuck in some,
I,
yeah.
But they're all
world.
Together.
I do have to say, like, the whole idea of Saint Nicholas and Krampus is obviously just God and the devil. That's basically
I really
what
don't
we,
like that interpretation.
But that's
yeah,
what
know.
They're going for. In the end... they're in hell is how I took the situation. But also, I mean, I took it as like just a fucking end of a horror film. That's all.
Right. I guess it's just hard for me because I feel like it could be they all survive, but then suddenly they remembered like, okay, wow, that really did happen. Or it could be that they're all in hell.
I mean, they are physically in a snow globe.
Right. But that could just be like, he's keeping an eye on all of those families.
Yeah. I see
what you're saying,
but that's, yeah.
I think they're imprisoned.
I think so too. I'm leaning that way, but I definitely see where you're coming from, especially with what happened to the grandma.
Yeah.
But I don't think it matters. I think that it was a good enough twist that it worked for me. I knew that there was going to be some sort of like, wake up, everything's all right moment. That's how I felt about it. It was like when Kevin McAllister wakes up and his family's doing Christmas.
Yeah,
him.
It was exactly like,
you know,
and I mean,
also, is it kind of like It's a Wonderful Life a little bit? Doesn't he like, I don't know.
I hate that movie.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
Terribly boring.
You guys are horrible. Yeah. But literally at the end of Polar Express, the exact same thing happens where he pulls this box out from under the tree and opens it up and there's a bell from Santa Claus in there.
Okay.
Like literally the exact same thing. And he's like, oh my God, Santa is real. So I'm telling you that Doherty was throwing out props to every amazing Christmas movie ever.
Well, I think that's exactly what this is. This is definitely, I have to say, my favorite Christmas movie.
Well, it's my favorite Christmas horror.
At least right now, at this moment. Rare Exports is really good. This felt near perfect for me. I don't know.
Yep. Okay, let's give numbers. Numbers. Throw down the numbers.
You want me to go first?
Yes.
8.5. It's a really good movie.
Wow.
There's obviously some flaws. And I know that right now it's sitting about like a 6 something and like a 40 Metacritic.
Oh, no, it's like a 67 Metacritic.
That's fine. That's great. But like, it's more than just a good movie for me. It draws in elements of a lot of things that I love. And it makes a perfect snowstorm of a film. I'm going to watch it a lot.
I love it too.
How about you, Kelly?
I give it a 9.3.
You're just trying to beat me now.
Well, no, I love Christmas more than you do.
God, you do.
And this movie, does not bastardize Christmas. It just focuses on the Christmas spirit and mm-hmm. makes it even more important than ever. And I love it. And it made me happy. And if you're a Christmas movie aficionado, you will find references to every movie you love in it. And you should watch it, and you should watch it again, and you should make your children watch it okay, so that they understand how important the Christmas spirit is.
I don't think that
it's the best ever.
Keep the kiddos away from this for a while.
Nope.
Sam?
Yes.
What would you review?
My eyes glazed over there for a minute.
I'm sorry.
No, not your fault. I'm going to go with a 7.0.
Cool.
For this.
Whoa. Wait, what? No, come on now. It's a really good score.
I mean, I guess.
I like this. I thought the acting hit well out of its weight. Like, you don't expect those kind of performances from, you know, what typically has been a very limited niche market, you know, holiday horror movies.
We didn't really get enough time to actually talk about all of the great actors in this, but yeah.
Suffice it to say, they did great.
Very competently acted.
It was shot well. The special effects were great. I loved the monsters. Mm-hmm. This movie it just made you feel good about being in a theater watching a movie.
This is what I want to see in the theater.
It made me feel good
as well.
About watching a theater.
You can speak for
not
me.
You.
Well, okay.
I was sitting
next to a schizophrenic homeless.
Which was nice.
He's basically Mario, just juggling coins all day. It was insane. I was blown away by the amount of coins this guy had. He had cargo pockets. He was putting them in the front of his pockets, too.
Well, that's good. So if he's a homeless man, at least he's got some change.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like his superpower.
I would have.
It's just having change.
Oh, it was terrible. That was the worst. And this has been our review of Krampus. Oh, fuck. So, okay. Embarrassing. I realized that our website has been pointing people to an email box that we have never opened.
This is awkward.
So I would like to apologize to everyone that's been writing into the show by clicking on the contact link at frightday.com. I promise that that'll never happen again. And I think we're going to be answering a couple questions as the weeks go on from that.
But yes. Thank you. We're sorry. We love you all. We would never ignore you.
That's insane. I can't believe this happened. But contact at frightday.com is our email address. If you want to say anything to us, please do. And if we ignored you, I hope you're still listening. I very much apologize.
I will punch Byron in the nose for you. Don't. And Byron will punch me in the nose.
Byron's fault.
I'm not gonna
for you.
Three of us trying to make this thing work here.
Yeah, it's working now. So I want to read a question from Ray that came from a very long time ago. I hope Ray's still listening. He says, I love your podcast. Can't wait to hear your next one. My question is, what are your favorite horror bands? Mine is Gwar. Also, what is your intro song? Keep up the amazing podcasts. Once again, Ray wrote that.
Thanks, Ray.
The opening theme song is the theme from Cannibal Holocaust. I kind of chopped and screwed. I guess just probably screwed. I wouldn't even say I chopped it. Just changed it a little bit by Riz. How do you say it, Sam?
Riz Ortolani.
Okay. And he's an Italian composer from the 70s. He's done some cool stuff.
Yeah. Like, the scene in Drive that takes place along the beach, the song that plays over that, Oh My Love, that's one of his songs. So
yeah, great guy. Love it. Don't sue us for using it. He is dead. He's
estate could
to your
sue
estate,
us.
Don't sue us.
Please don't. That'd be great. As for our favorite horror bands, I'm going to jump ahead and stick with the theme. Ryan Gosling's band, Dead Man's Bones. I stole it before Kelly
God
could.
God damn it, Byron. That's all I had.
Well, it's okay.
You can both have the same.
Yeah.
I love it. It's really good. They've been talking about doing another album for years. I haven't seen it yet. Even though he's fucking doing SNL, should be writing spooky tunes.
I know. I need to
what
watch
an
it.
Ass.
Sam, how about you?
The Misfits.
The Misfits.
Yes.
I don't know anything about it. I know that they do the Devil's Lock.
Devil Lock.
I know. I was just kidding.
You asshole.
It's way funny to say Devil's Lock.
It is. It's pretty funny. The Misfits featuring Glenn Danzig, not Doyle Von Frankenstein.
You like Danzig, even though he's...
No, he's a terrible person.
Bad guy.
Awful, awful guy, by all accounts.
What makes him horrible?
He fights everyone.
And he's just a dick. There's a really great video of the guys from the Northside Kings were trying to talk to him. They opened for a show, for Danzig, and he was just being a total dick, and he just pushed one of the guys from the Northside Kings, and the guy just laid him out. Knocked him out cold.
Oh, I've seen that video.
It's awesome.
There's a YouTube video there.
Yeah,
great.
It's pretty good.
You also are a big fan of that AFI All Hallows Eve EP, right?
I love that album.
Yeah.
Or that EP. Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to think of other horror bands. I love GWAR, the Ultimate GWAR Archives. If you ever want to have a really bad, I've thrown up thinking about GWAR night. There's this DVD anthology of all their videos and a bunch of different things. It's really dark. Huh. It makes me incredibly uncomfortable.
Good for GWAR.
Yeah, good for GWAR. So once again, thank you so much, Ray. We'll be reading more questions next week. But this week, what do you say we talk to a ghost?
Oh, no.
You almost forgot. This is what we do. EVP, or electronic voice phenomena, is a common practice in the field of parapsychology. And, Kelly, say it with me. On this podcast.
On this
when we do it
podcast.
Live, that's what the audience is going to say. It's going to be great. It's used to capture answers and concerns of residual spirits. Kelly, what do you want to ask a residual spirit?
Nothing ever. I hate this segment. It's terrible to bug ghosts. You guys don't need to be doing this. You're inviting horrible things. I don't like it. There's nobody that should be bothered. Please leave them alone. Please don't do it.
I mean, have you experienced anything since we began this?
I'm constantly experiencing things. I hear noises. I hear creaks. Doors closed. Doors open. My daughter freaks out for no reason in her nursery. I don't like it at all.
Okay. Well, why don't we get to the bottom of that and ask if there are people?
Oh, great. That'll help.
I mean, I think we need to call them out if they are. Stir them
up.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, if there are any spirits in this house, now is your chance to speak up. Just simply let your presence be known. We'll give you some time on the mic. Right now.
No pressure if you don't want to talk.
Hey, let them talk. All right. That should be enough time to really get to the bottom of this. Hopefully we'll hear something this week. But more importantly, what are we doing next week?
We should do a podcast.
Sure.
I'm into it.
So there's a couple movies that we haven't seen this year. Dementia came out or is coming out this week. And also Hellions, which is what's the director of Pontypool? I think it's his movie.
Oh.
Something we haven't seen yet.
Super fun.
Oh, we all love Pontypool.
Maybe we'll do another one of those silly Twitter votes.
I like that. That's fun.
So we're at Fright Day on Twitter. They've got that new polling feature. It'd be great to hear your thoughts about what we're doing next. And also what you thought about this episode. What do you thought about Krampus? This is a movie everyone can go out and see and should see. Guys, can I please go to sleep?
Please go to sleep.
I wish you would, Byron.
Like, I'm kind of thinking you should just sleep here because I don't know that you can make it home.
Oh, I can. It's not that far. It's another 20 minutes.
I know. I'm really worried about you,
though. We'll be fine. You know what would make me even more fine is if people went to shop.frightday.com and bought me some clothes to sleep. Well, wait, purchased clothes for me to sleep on?
Byron, this is what I mean about not letting you drive home.
Yeah, I'm okay. It doesn't make any sense, but we've got some cool stuff there. I'm going to print 2 new shirts. I don't know if they're going to be out this week or next week, but they're going to be out and you're going to love them, I hope. One is not a Krampus, unfortunately.
Aww.
Maybe next year for Krampus Day, we'll sell some Krampus merch. But you know what? We've had enough Krampus this week. Until next year, what do you say we cut the Krampus and start moving towards the end of the year?
Towards the Christmas?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the end of the year lists that are going to be up at Frightday.com, as well as all the trailers and interviews that you haven't heard. There's going to be show notes for this episode there. It's going to be great.
And some cool stuff coming up this month.
Oh my gosh, guys. Giveaway from Camera Viscera. They gave us a pin. Do you remember what it was?
Stephen King.
Oh, no, it's incredible. I love that pin.
So go to frightday.com, enter this Camera Viscera enamel pin giveaway. It's a really cool Stephen King pin. I went to their website. It's a limited run of 100 and they're 100% sold out.
Oh, so that is so cool.
This is your only chance to get it. Sign up.
And for the unbeatable price of free.
Possibly free for you. And we have another contest with Creepy Co. that'll be coming up after that as well. Lots of cool stuff. Frightday.com. Guys, I gotta go. I'm done.
Please.
Yeah, call
please.
It.
I'm spent. Kelly?
Yeah.
Where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at Kelly Frightday on Twitter, or you can email me, kelly@frightday.com, and I will respond. I will not wait 6 months to respond because I do check that email very regularly.
Get off my back.
It wasn't just your fault.
I know. And you're collecting stories.
Yes. In fact, I think we're probably going to do some type of a New Year's haunt.
Ooh, I like it. True Tales of Terror, Volume 2, coming soon.
Yes.
Sam, where can we find you on the internet?
@SamFrightDay on Twitter, and you can email me, sam@frightday.com.
And I'm at Byron McCoy on Twitter. Byron@frightday.com is my email address. I don't deserve to be a fan of serial killers this week. But until next week, I'm Byron.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sam.
Stay nice.